Welcome back to WD Magic Cast for the week of May 12th, 2024. This is episode 256. WD Magic Cast, the show about the mouse, the marvels, the galaxy, and beyond. I'm your host, Matthew Graykin. And in this week's show, Dave Gallman and I sit down to discuss the Bad Batch season review of the Bad Batch. Well, I guess show review, even in some aspects of the Bad Batch. We may throw in some Tales of the Empire and maybe some accolades, maybe some Disney World news. Who knows what's going to happen this episode, because I don't yet. Make sure you to join a conversation. Let us know what's your thoughts, what's going on, how you're doing today on our social media, which can be all found at WD Magicast on pretty much all platforms. Threads, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We are out there. Make sure to join us, follow us, and chat along. We'll chat back. Make sure definitely check us out on the YouTube, where you can listen to the show there. And if you are listening to the show on YouTube, make sure to give us a thumbs up and subscribe. Don't forget to also check out our Tee Public Shop, where we got some cool merchandise and stuff going on there, and some sales are coming up, so take advantage of the sales and help out your favorite podcast and get some cool stuff for yourself there. And on that bombshell, on with the show. Years ago, there was a spinoff of Clone Wars. In the last season of Clone Wars, we were introduced to Clone Force 99, the defective clones, better known as eventually as the Bad Batch. And this was like the A-team of the clones, kind of the rejects, and just no one wants to deal with them. But whenever there's a problem, you know who to call. They would bring them in. Then they decided to do a whole season of them, and it was quite interesting. Then we had season two, and they said season three will be it. That will be the final season of the group known as the Bad Batch. And we don't know what happens, because this is all new group, and we're introduced to new characters and a whole bunch of stuff. So we just finished up season three. Season three ended last week, and just like the A-team, we have B.A. Barabbas. Yeah, I mean, Dave Gallman, Mailman Barabbas, here to discuss his thoughts and muddlings on the Bad Batch.
Hello, Matthew. Thank you for having me.
Dave, always a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
I'll play the Mr. T role for you, all right?
Okay.
A pitted fool.
I pity the show that comes my way.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Bad Batch is coming on. And it was definitely an interesting ride with them. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's weird because it's like, I don't know how to feel about it now that it's over, because I'm torn. You know, there's two ways you can go with this for me anyway. I don't know how you felt when it was over.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was really good. By the end of it, I was torn. I did not want it to end, because I got so used to everybody. You got to see Omega grow up from a little girl in the beginning season to being this more mature character with a ponytail in season three, to the very end conclusion where she's all grown up and going off to fight the Empire. You know, when you get a progression like that, you really get to connect with the characters. You really get to experience them. You know, it's not a very flat character. It is you get to see how their lives are changing. And even with the clones themselves, you kind of see their progression from this, ragtag bunch to a group that has found a purpose beyond being mercenaries. So it was a very interesting progression to watch. I don't think this story would necessarily was handled the best at all times as far as the content that we were given. Some points I think they focused too much on the lesson that the clones were learning that episode or a couple of episodes than necessarily telling us a complete story or a full story. But I'm sad. I'm going to miss them. I liked all these characters. I liked the world that we were in. And in other ways, I'm glad for what we got, and I'm okay with where we left off.
Yeah. See, for me, it's like the area in which they had to play in that sandbox. I expected more. So it's like, same thing with Tales from the Empire. It's like my expectation for what they were going to do, they didn't meet. Now, I'm not saying they got to pander to what I want, but what I'm saying is,
no one can pander to what you want.
No, exactly. I'm just saying, like, we didn't get, like, they were kind of insinuating that there could be some kind of clone, versus, like, the new stormtroopers, the regular stormtroopers. That never happened. They delved into the Project Necromancer, where I thought, okay, maybe we're going to learn some stuff about how they clone the Emperor, or, you know, how Snoke comes about. That never happened. There was, like, a bunch of things where I'm like, ooh, all right, we're getting into some stuff. And ultimately, it was a story about Omega. It seemed like the Bad Batch took a back seat to her. So I'm like, did Filoni pull a fast one on us where he was setting up for future stuff with Omega? That's why I was like torn with it. Did I like what we had? Sure. Season two was a little much to get through. Season one I liked. Season three I did enjoy, but the whole like, okay, we're off Tantus, now we're back on Tantus, got a little repetitive. But, you know, at the end it was like, okay, hone in my expectations, because I'll be honest, when episode 14 came out, I'm like, we only got one episode left for them to tie up everything I thought they were going to do, and that just never happened.
they tied up some stuff. They didn't tie up enough stuff. Same thing with Project the Necromancer. I was expecting to get more out of it other than just a quick in the background type of deal of, oh, you know, yes, we are working on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that being it, they just kind of dropped it from there. Okay, it has something to do with M count. Okay, oh, we know the M count's the Metachlorian count. Right. Okay, we're bringing back that back. But you really just... They just introduced it, and maybe it's us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's, as a fan, we are expecting or accustomed to getting everything all at once and getting a complete story in one shot or right. One show. And are they getting to the point of, okay, we are going to talk about this topic over here in Bad Batch. We have this other thing being worked on, and we will cover it more there or somewhere else. But, you know, we're not just going to throw everything at you at once and then burn all our content.
Right.
Because they're working, trying to fill in these gaps or fill in, you know, the world began in episode one and ended on episode nine. And now they're trying to fill in here and there. Okay, we had the Clone Wars, so that happened between episodes two and three. And we had Rebels, which happened between three and four. Now we have Bad Batch, which also happens between three and four. But, you know, we're not going to double cross ourselves with Rebels. So, okay, we'll just go in this slightly different direction. And since we know, you know, people have questioned about nine, this is how we're going to start filling in information there. Okay, our next project is going to plug in at this gap, and we'll cover these kind of topics on there. Is this the last that we will see of the Bad Batch? Probably. Is this the last we'll see of Omega? Probably not.
Probably not. That's why I'm like, I think just like the Clone Wars was the, basically, yeah, it tied up a lot of stuff, you know, to make the prequel trilogy better. But ultimately it was, I felt it was Ahsoka Tano's story. You know what I mean? They pulled one great character out of that. So I think he's trying to do it again with Omega for some reason. I think she's got a bigger story to tell. And this was just the setup for her, you know, next adventure. That's kind of what I got out of it at the end. I'm like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, in the synopsis for season 3. In the final season of Star Wars The Bad Batch, the Batch will have their limits tested in the fight to reunite with Omega as she faces challenges of her own inside a remote Imperial science lab. With the group fractured and facing threats from all directions, they will have to seek unexpected allies, embark on dangerous missions, and muster everything they have learn to free themselves from the Empire. Voice cast all still being the same. Bradley D. Baker, Michelle Ang, Keisha Castle Hughes, Jimmy Simpson, Nishar Dalla, and Wanda Sykes. For like 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we... Yeah, I mean, I liked how they pulled some stuff back from previous seasons and we got a little more answers, but then you had the scientist girl.
Yeah.
You know, you could have done a little more than her. I mean, you gave her a redeeming arc, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I thought there could have been a little bit more there. And then you had the...
Even Hemlock. Hemlock was a cool bad guy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him as a bad guy in the show. And then ultimate, you know, spoiler alert, you know, now he's gone. So it's like.
Right. But again, like, okay, where are we going with him too? You know, how many characters are we carrying through?
Right.
But I liked what they did with his character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gave him quite a bit of a range there. And you know, just when you think that he's a worm and he's about to prove himself. No, he proves himself to be a worm.
Yeah.
So, and then what was the thing that they introduced, those ultra beasts? Where were they?
Talking about the big dragon thing at the end or yes. Whatever. Yeah, I forgot what the name. I should know something beast.
Why don't you know these things?
I should. It's been a couple weeks, but that's been through like throughout the whole series, I think. So Omega like lets it loose, and then that we don't see anything else about that. So
no.
So that, you know, okay.
Here's the MacGuffin. We let the beast out of the building.
Right.
Why is there a beast in the building? Don't ask questions. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't write the stories. I just watch them.
You wish you could write the stories.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be any better, but I'd give it a try.
No. Yes. I'm glad to have watched it. I personally think the first season was the best.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, this is my take on it, is 1, 3, 2.
Zillow Beast. Thank you.
Thank you.
It just came to me.
Ultra Beast, that's Pokemon. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, that thing's still roaming around somewhere out there.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Space
but yeah, no,
and Zillow Beast.
Yeah. I agree. Like season 1, there was some good stuff in there. Yes, there was a lot of like missions for what, Sid and all that going on. Season 2 did absolutely nothing for me. I think it was more like a whole bunch of filler episodes. Season 3, I expected them to come out. They came out, you know, we did get a lot of meat and potatoes in a lot of the episodes. But, you know, ultimately, it didn't go as far as I thought it was going to go. So I guess, you know, like I said, I had to check my expectations because that stuff's probably coming down the road and they didn't just want to give it all out one shot for us.
Yeah. At some point, I mentioned that we will be discussing spoilers. So here's me mentioning that we will be discussing spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I expected this show to end a little more tragic. I think I haven't looked at it on the web to see what people are saying. But I want to say that that's probably the general consensus, that everyone expected to be a little more tragic of an ending.
Kind of like a Rogue One ending, where because you know everybody is supposed to pass, so they probably thought everybody was going to, you know.
Or like a few more people. Like when we saw Wrecker get, you know, scratched up, I'm like, okay, here's the end for Wrecker. No, Wrecker, it's all gone so soon. And, oh, wait, you're still here. All right.
The only one.
Oh, hang it on. All right. Yeah. Oh, you know, Crosshair's going to, you know, make the ultimate sacrifice and he's going to go. No. Right. Crosshair's still.
just lost the hand. Typical to Star Wars. That's it. Yeah, he got his hand chopped off by that laser thing from one of those X-droids or whatever, X-clones, one of those special force clones. Mm. You don't remember that? And at the end, he's like holding his arm. He has no hand.
I thought that was Echo.
No, Crosshair.
Crosshair did? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Echo doesn't have... Yeah, Echo can change his hand.
Well, he took the hand off of a droid and stuck it on.
Yeah, because... Exactly. Crosshair got that. Yeah. Because you don't remember when he had to make that shot, he rested the gun up on the stump and took the shot.
I missed that somehow.
Were you awake when you were watching the episodes, Matthew?
It may have taken me 3 or 4 times to get through the last episode.
Yeah, I hear you.
It may have been a few times. Yeah, I may have nodded off at some point. But, I forgot about that part. I remember Echo, or maybe I just think some of the stuff was just going on a little fast. I missed out on that detail. But, Star Wars, you're not allowed to have hands.
No. Yeah. Yeah, the only one that bit it was Tech. Which, and there was, like, pure speculation that he was going to come back, or he was one of those.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, you know, Tech is coming back, Tech will be back.
Yeah.
I'm glad Tech did not, as much as I miss Tech, and I like Tech,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad he didn't come back, because, you know, Star Wars is walking the line of becoming, like, a soap opera. It's like, okay, this person's dead. Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, no, you're not. Nope.
That was my brother's cousin's uncle's other roommate. just random things like that. So no, thankfully dead is dead with Tech. At the end I was expecting at least one more person to snuff it, but
mm-hmm.
you know, they didn't. All right, and in some ways I can understand that, you know, why are we killing off everybody, because there's war going on. Yeah, these things happen. Mm-hmm. But that's not what happened, not how it's going. So, que sera, sera. Only so much that we can do about that. But in the end, though, I like the ending, and I like that they kind of give you a glimpse into, okay, where things, you know, are 5 years down the road, or however many years it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was okay with all that. You know, the Bad Batch had gone off to be basically, like I said, kind of like these farmers, you know, we're just going to live the life and live low and be happy living out whatever our natural life will be.
Retire on Pabu and, yes. You know, whatever happens, happens, which I'm surprised they went back there because now. Well, the Empire knows where they are. Well, knows of it now because they were there. So wouldn't you think they would go? But then again, everything was done. So why would they be looking for them? So, yeah, I could see why they would go there. There's no reason for everything basically got closed up. So there's no reason to search for these people, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. And the few people that you know, were really gunning for them or knew of them are not there anymore.
Right.
So,
and the cool thing was, like, when Tarkin, I don't know if you got the same, like, ooh, feeling when Tarkin at the end was like, you know, take all the funding from this and transfer it over to Project Stardust.
Yes.
Like, I was like, cool. I was like, all right.
So, okay, this is where the money's, you know, hanging from the Death Star to this. Yeah, that was cool. I like that little, okay, right to Andor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So overall, what would you, like, I guess all three seasons together, like, what would you get, like?
Well, let's just do season three. So how would you rate season three?
Out of 10?
Yes.
7.5, probably.
I'm going with an 8. And then show overall.
The overall, because season two was not that great, I'm going to give it a 7. I'm going to go down.
Season two would kind of really just dragged. I mean, you had some good moments there, but you had a lot of just stuff.
Yeah.
Like, nothing like even great, just like stuff. Yeah, I'll have to. I'll give it a 7.5.
There you go.
Because it's season one really held it up. Season three tried to bring it back.
Yeah.
But season two just showed you that there just wasn't enough there.
Yeah. And I think I'm on record as saying that, you know, they needed to end it. You know what I mean? Because how much further could they have dragged this out?
Right.
So,
and they heard you.
They heard me. See?
They heard you, Dave. David Gallman, they heard you all the way in California.
Yep.
From the hills of Skywalker Ranch to the basements in the CGI animating studios at ILM. From the great Yoda statue in the front yard to Bob Iger's office, they will hear you sing, "We've had enough. We've had enough."
Oh boy!
Speaking of having enough, you watched Tales of the Empire. Star Wars Tales of the Empire is a 6-episode journey into the fearsome Galactic Empire through the eyes of two warriors on divergent paths, set during different eras. After losing everything, young Morgan Elsbeth navigates the expanding Imperial world towards a path of vengeance, while former Jedi Barriss Offee does what she must to survive a rapidly changing galaxy. The choices they make will define their destinies. Star Wars Tales of the Empire, 6-piece series, is now fully available on Disney Plus. Aired on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Created by Dave Filoni. Supervised by Dave Filoni. Executive producer Dave Filoni. And others. Carrie Beck and Athena Yvette Portillo. Co-executive producer Josh Rimes, senior producer Alex Spotswood, and production company Lucasfilm. Based on Star Wars by George Lucas, whose birthday was the other day. Happy birthday, George.
Happy birthday, George. Mm-hmm. So this...
I watched one episode. You can speak of the rest.
You watched one episode. Okay. You can watch, if you have the time, you can binge these really quick. They're good. They keep your attention. I think for me, when I hear Tales of the Empire, I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm not thinking Morgan Elsbeth and Barriss Offee as Empire stories. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking maybe, you know, I don't know, Tarkin or what the heck's his name? Tarkin or Grand Admiral Thrawn. Sorry, Thrawn.
Oh, I'm thinking
somebody, not a Sith, not a Jedi, you know, none of those guys. I'm thinking maybe like an officer that got choked out by Vader or something like that. His little backstory before he gets
General
choked
Piet.
Out. Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, let's get some, like, you know, sub stories to those guys.
A random stormtrooper.
Right. So, like a Jedi survivor, there's one little, you know, you come up to him, I forgot what his name was, but he just sat there. Give me the backstory to that guy that we just defeated. I don't know.
I'm just going off a side tangent here. I didn't read any of the stuff in advance. So I'm sitting down watching the first episode, and, you know, you have the Night Sisters on Darthmouth and everything going on. And I'm like, is that the girl from Survivor? Are we getting actually the story of Survivor? We're, you know, melding the worlds and we're getting more of the information of the girl from Survivor.
Yeah.
And they say Morgan. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not the girl from Survivor.
There is a creature, and I think it's either in Bad Batch or in this, that there is a creature that is made reference to that is in Jedi Survivor. So they, to your point, yes, they are melding the worlds together. So that eventually we could see, you know, Cal Kestis in something, you know.
That's kind of the plan, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibility, and I would love to see him on something, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, the Morgan Elsbeth section, that was more, I guess, in typical Tales of the Whatever, you know, format, they do the before. You know, they do an early one, you know, and then a middle one, and then an older one. So they age them over the course of time, you know, just like they did in Tales of the Jedi. So that was more, I guess, to tie up her story with Ahsoka. You know what I mean? To give her a little bit more backstory to what leads up to the events in Ahsoka. The Barriss Offee thing, like, she was a former Jedi, became, you know, an Inquisitor. So they kind of, like, delved into that a little bit. But, again, they were entertaining, but not what I was expecting for a Tales of the Empire thing. So I'm not saying it you shouldn't watch it. Watch it. I did enjoy it, but it wasn't where I thought the angle was going to be. So, like, if they do a Tales of the Bounty Hunters, they better have Bosk, you know, all these guys in there.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would definitely be interesting on doing a bounty hunter one where we can get some more backstory on them. Because you do have in the books, but they've you know, tossed a lot of those books aside. So you kind of have a fresh slate. But like you said, Bosk, some of the other IG-88,
yep.
Which a lot of the stuff that I've read from other stuff regarding 88 is quite brutal. You know, we don't have to touch on Boba Fett, but yeah, you do have a number of options there. That I think that would be a good another good direction, and a lot of potential to go that way, as long, again, choosing the right characters.
Yeah, and that's like, I don't know if, again, that's where I think I have the small little problem with, is like, these are two that I didn't think belonged in that genre of Tales of the Empire. I could be wrong. You know, you finish watching them yourself and then you let me know. But like, I don't know. I would have went, again, I'm not in control of this stuff, but I was thinking other stuff.
Why not?
I was thinking a different direction.
Yeah, I think I was too. I don't know what exactly I was thinking. Since I watched the original one, I remember, okay, followed the two characters along at these points. And I don't know. I was thinking it's like they were going a slightly different direction with the Empire one. So that kind of what threw me off. But
yeah. And like, I had heard like there's a book or some kind of reference to where the fact that when Han Solo got frozen in carbonite, he went to other places through other bounty hunters, I think, instead of just going from A to B. He did go to other places. So if you did like a Tales of the Bounty Hunter small little episode with like where Han Solo went during before he eventually arrived at Jabba's palace, that would be cool, you know.
And this goes back to Shadows of the Empire, which was such a beloved book and storyline from 90s, I think. I want to say that came out. That George even really supposedly spoke highly of that book. That, you know, they could pull some stuff from there. Like, again, I was talking about IG-88. Apparently, he was stalking Boba Fett, and they used to battle back and forth quite a bit to the point that Boba Fett defeated him on Cloud City. IG-88, because if you look, IG-88's actually in the Cloud City when they're going through the incinerator room.
Yeah.
And they rescue his head. There's IG-88's carcass, as it were, for a droid, sitting next to the incinerator. There's this whole battle that happens from the bridge of the Star Destroyer, where Darth Vader gives them their orders, to Cloud City, that we don't know about.
Right, filling a gap right there. Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah, there's a big area of material that they can use. So, but they won't do that.
No,
they won't do that. They give us the tale of the Gonk droid.
On this week's episode of Tales of the Jawa.
Yeah, exactly.
Ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Can you imagine?
Sadly. Tales of Yogurt. Yogurt the Wise. Yogurt the Powerful. No, please. I'm just plain yogurt.
Please make a sequel to that.
Did you see History of the World Part 2 yet?
I did not.
That's why you're asking for a sequel.
Oh, okay.
But speaking of sequels that we have asked for, The Acolyte, we get some trailers for that. That's coming really soon, June 4th. So June 4th, after, month after the Tales of the Empire, just after Memorial Day here in the States. An investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi master, Lee Jung Jae, against a dangerous warrior from his past, Amandla Stamberg. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal not all are what they seem. So this one I've kind of been waiting for. My expectations are still high. I'm holding them there. But it kind of supposedly the rise of the Sith, more or less. So this goes back to the ancient times, like way before Skywalker, Anakin, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, what they say, 100 years before.
Yeah, this goes way back. I think it looks pretty cool so far. It's hard to grab any real sense of the story out of the trailers.
Right.
You're just getting a lot of flash and a lot of action to draw you in without trying to, steal too much of the narrative away. Like I said, originally this was high on my list of ones I will watch. After seeing the trailer, what do you think? Are your expectations higher, lower, or about the same after seeing the trailer?
I'm kind of cautiously optimistic because I'm not quite sure. It looks like it's like a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon / Star Wars / Star Trek. Film series. That's what it kind of looked like from the trailer.
So what's going wrong there?
Nothing, but it's just like, that's not a part of Star Wars, of any kind of Star Wars that we've seen, as far as, you know, all that, the martial arts aspect. I'm all for it, trust me, because I love martial arts. But we got to see how this goes in here. And, you know, so I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm trying not to go into it, like, because we don't know what we're getting with this. So, no. And that that 2-minute trailer doesn't really give you, you know, you don't really get that, wow, I definitely got to see this. Now, I don't know. And they're saying that the rumor is Darth Tenebrows or something like that, that could be the guy with the red saber. We shall see. I guess he was whatever you say his name. I guess that's his master. So that's how far back they're going. So, but okay. I don't know. That's the rumor. It's not a spoiler. I don't know for a fact. That's the rumor.
we'll find out in 2 weeks. Yeah. I think my expectations have come down a little bit. Not greatly, just a little bit, kind of just grounding it a little more with, again, not knowing what to expect. You know, the trailers have been good to see, but like you said, it's not anything that's really hooked me and pulled me in yet.
Right.
So, we'll find out. We'll find out. I mean, I guess kind of in the same way, like some of the Doctor Who trailers for me didn't like really pull me in, but I've been enjoying this season, which we will be talking about soonish. I don't know, Dave. Soon-ish? When are we going to be talking about that?
Doctor Who? Well, how many episodes? How many? You tell me. Like, how many episodes you want to get in? Because how many episodes are there in this season?
I want to say 12.
12. Okay, so do you want to do like a mid-season review then?
We're almost there.
What? All right, well, there's 3 episodes. So we could do 6. I have to catch up, though.
Yeah, you let us know when you catch up, and we'll get things rolling on this end.
Okay.
Let me verify that, though. Season, oh, that's weird. Oh, okay, that's why. That's, I did not, 13 episodes, but that includes
the holiday special or whatever.
Yeah, which on IMDb they labeled properly episode 0. On Disney Plus it's episode 1, which it's not. Space Babies is episode 1.
Okay.
Episode 1 of the season.
All right, we'll do a mid season review on that.
Yeah, because as we're talking, Isaac's already texting me, when are we talking about X-Men 97? Yes. So stay tuned, folks. We just gave you some of the schedule of what's coming up.
Yeah. And I'll just weigh in on X-Men real quick. I knew about the original series that was back in the 90s. I'm pretty sure I saw casually some of the episodes, but I didn't watch it religiously. So when I went into this, I'm like, it's just the X-Men, whatever. I got sucked into this and binged. I was mad at myself because I did binge, because now I had to wait for the week episodes because they were just so good. So this one,
I remember in a text chat.
Here we go.
Me, you, and he who shall not be named,
exactly,
on a podcast.
Yeah.
We're discussing, and you go, absolutely not. It's garbage. No one, X-Men's not my thing. No. Well, I am going to waste my time on this. What's wrong with you two guys? You are morons for watching this show.
Yes, exactly.
No way did they make a show that good. And Dave?
Yeah. I'll eat crow, man. I was totally wrong. This thing sucks you in, boy. It is well written. I love the old school updated, animation, because it's still based on the old school, but just modern touch to it. So, right, yeah. And it's very good. I don't want to give anything away because let you and Isaac handle that stuff. But yeah, for me, dude, I love it. I'm up for more. I hope they keep going. Let's get another one. X-Men 98.
It would be season 2. But yeah, no, I I have a feeling, and I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything officially, but just the pulse that I generally gain from, you know, out there from the people watching the show is everyone's loving it.
Yeah.
So if they can come up with a good pitch for season 2, 3, and 4,
mm-hmm.
bring them, let them, you know, keep it going in this direction, in this style, this type of pacing, this type of writing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll have a show that people are talking about.
Yeah. And I suggest going back to watch, because that's what I'm actually doing. I've gone back and I started watching the original, and it's also on Disney Plus, and it holds up well. Like when you think, oh, I'm going back 30 years to, you know, to watch something, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a train wreck, or I can't believe this was out then. No, it holds up. Like I'm into it. It's, you know, is it as good as this one? Not really. Jury's still out. I still got like 3 seasons I gotta watch on it. But I'm into it. It's good.
Yeah, it was good stuff back then, and so a lot of it does hold up still. It's good, and I like the constant reference to from 97 to prior episodes and things that happened in those episodes, and the connective thread between that. And again, Isaac and I will be getting more into mm-hmm. it. We talked about, you know, in mid-season, and now we're going to be talking about the finale. So we have all that coming up. Also on a side note, we do have the most recent information from Walt Disney World that they announced June 28th will be the official opening of Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Walt Disney World. The retheming of Splash Mountain. Construction is pretty much done. Cast previews will be starting in a week or so. Then season pass holders and I forgot the name of the timeshare. DVC holders and, you know, all that stuff will be coming real soon. So that's going to be opening up with a virtual queue and lightning lanes all available. So
is there any leaked footage of like what it looks like, or have they released any like images?
They've released pieces, views of the animatronics outside the setting.
Mm-hmm.
But considering that no one who hasn't, you know, is under complete scrutiny and a very watchful eye has ridden it yet, nothing has leaked out yet, really.
Okay.
Nothing that they haven't wanted out there.
Right.
So we shall see. We shall see how that goes. And also you got the Disney Plus news that there will be a new package deal, which this kind of blew my mind, of Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max.
Wow. No more ESPN?
I think ESPN is in there. My understanding, ESPN is getting a new online platform this year.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing stuff about that because they just announced that the WNBA is coming to Disney streaming.
I think you're right, because I was on it and I did see Caitlin Clark and all them, like the little icons to click on them. So,
yeah, but prior to Disney Plus. So I go back here. But yeah, so you have a number of things going on there. They're reworking.
Does Disney own the rights to all the HBO stuff now?
There will be a kind of joint agreement. It's being bundled in. I think there's going to be a portal access. There's going to be an ESPN portal access. I think I remember reading about that on the Disney Plus. I'm not sure if Max is getting one as well. But yeah, it's very interesting how that's all.
Yeah, because that's two big. That's two big streaming services. I'm surprised.
Hold on. No, it's Park Vlogs. Come with that. Let me get the press release here. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band is getting a documentary film that's coming to Disney Plus and Hulu this October.
Okay.
Jason Kelce is coming to Monday Night Football.
Nice.
Done with that. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is doing good in theaters. Here we go.
I've heard that, yeah, I've heard good things about it, but I've heard that it's setting up, like, it's a good movie, but it's setting up for future movies. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Like, we may have to see the other, like, say if it's a trilogy, another trilogy coming out, we may have to wait to see the other two to, like, see how your view might change on the first
right,
one.
Right. And in some ways, I'm okay with that. As long as it's still a solid film.
Right. So am I. Yeah.
I'm okay with it because I love that world.
Yes.
Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Disney Entertainment and Warner Brothers Discovery announce a new streaming bundle that includes Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max. Beginning this summer in the U.S., the streaming service will be offered together, providing subscribers with the best value in entertainment and an unprecedented selection of content from the biggest and most beloved brands in the entertainment, including ABC, CNN, DC, Discovery, Disney, Food Network, FX, HBO, HGTV, Hulu, Marvel, Pixar, Searchlight, Warner Brothers, and many, many more. The new bundle will be available for purchase on any of the three streaming services platform websites and offered as both an ad-supported and ad-free plan. On the heels of a very successful launch of Hulu on Disney Plus, the new bundle with Max will offer subscribers an even more choice and value, says Joe Early, President Direct Consumer Disney Entertainment. This incredible new partnership puts subscribers first, giving them access to blockbuster films, originals, and three massive libraries featuring the very best brands and entertainment and streaming today. New offer delivers for consumers the greatest collection of entertainment for the best value in streaming and will help drive incremental subscribers and strong relations, much more stronger relations, says JB Pressett, CEO and president of Global Streaming Games, Warner Brothers Discovery, offering this unprecedented entertainment value for fans across all complementary genres. These three services present a powerful new roadmap for the future of the industry. Additional details regarding the bundle will be shared in the coming months.
Yeah, I wonder if I wonder if this is like the beginning of how do I say this? Where we're getting away from the individual streaming services to pay 15 here, 15 there, 15 there, 15 there, where we're actually going to finally get almost like cable, where maybe we just have one thing and all of that, you pay for that one thing and have all those apps and streaming services there. That would be nice.
You may not be too far off on that. Because I heard, I'm trying to see if I could quickly find something about it, that there is supposedly going to be another announcement of a bundle coming shortly.
You know, like, just say you're Comcast or some cable company.
Ah, here it is.
Good.
Comcast to unveil Netflix, Apple TV Plus, and Peacock streaming bundle.
Right. There we go. So with the cut the cord trend that's going on, if you are Comcast, hey, I don't want to lose my customers, you know, I'm going to include some of these, you know, streaming services within the bundle to get people to stay with us.
Right. And that's, you know, be fair. Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus, and Peacock aren't the strongest of services out
there. No, true.
So, you know, you're going along with the mega giant of Netflix. That's, you can't really hurt Netflix, and it only stands to boost Apple and Peacock.
Right. Like, it's getting crazy. Like, because I want to see Monarch, the Godzilla thing?
Yes, that's on Apple TV, and that's something I've been wanting to watch, too.
But yeah, I'm not subscribing to Apple TV. I subscribe to so many other things. So. Well,
right. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I have it because I have Apple products. And also because the Peanut stuff is on there, so you know, to watch that stuff during the holidays. There isn't too much other stuff otherwise that I'm really like jumping to get in and watch. I did watch Ted Lasso. I really enjoyed that. I don't know if it's coming back anymore or if it's done at this point. They don't really know either. But it's like, okay, still have the service. I'm trying to think what else to watch on it. Peacock we just got recently because my boys want to watch the wrestling, so that's primarily what they've been watching on there. They've watched a couple of the DreamWorks movies that are available on there, but it's, again, nothing like, not too much that's like really grabbing. I'm curious to see what they do with the Olympics over the summer regarding Peacock.
Yeah, I have Peacock only because that's one of the, like you just said, with Comcast, that I get that free through Comcast. So, yes, I can now watch wrestling. I think there's some football games that are on there. I can watch it if they're streaming it. Yep. I don't have to pay to, you know, the extra stuff. And every now and then, some of the movies go there. So you luck out, and if there's a movie you want to see, that's on there. Because we just upgraded our phones, one of the perks was to get Walmart Plus, and if you get Walmart Plus, you get Paramount Plus. So now I have Paramount Plus because I got Walmart Plus. Exactly, follow the rabbit hole. So I'm looking at, like, Paramount Plus has like the South Park stuff, which is awesome. I like South Park, and then I'm like, I do want to watch Picard, the Star Trek stuff, because I heard that's really good. But I just
so I'm coming over to your house to watch Picard.
There you go. It looks like, you know, I've heard it's really good. I want to see it. I tried watching the first episode and it looks good. It's just I haven't been able to have the time to actually go down
season.
It.
That's as far as I got.
Okay, and how was the first season to you? What did you think?
I really liked it.
Okay.
I really liked it. It's like watching, you know, again, seeing old friends again after so long.
Right.
So I was very happy how they treated things for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see how the other two seasons go.
Right. I heard, you know, it's not a spoiler. I heard that they handled their reunion with their old school guys better than the Star Wars universe did. You know, I guess they decided to bring everybody together when Disney decided to kill them all.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, in all fairness, Disney decided to kill all of them. Nature said otherwise.
Right, yes. Can't blame what happened to Carrie Fisher on Disney. No. That was a tragedy.
As much as people want to.
Right. They killed off Luke. They almost killed off Chewie. They made you think they killed Chewie, but they didn't.
They killed Han.
Killed off Han. Yeah.
Han wanted to die 2 movies ago.
Right. So they said, all right, we'll give him what he wants. Oh, man. Yeah, so just put them all on one thing. Just give me, one universal thing where I can get all my streaming services on it and just charge me one lump sum. Game over.
$500. Here you go, Dave.
Not paying that, but well, anyway, yeah, it's getting to that point soon.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's
about it.
I think we covered everything right there and then, right?
Yeah, we covered.
So, thank you again for coming across, and we'll be getting back to episodes a lot sooner than I think we did this time.
Yes.
Thank you for your insight on these other shows that I haven't gone to yet.
Mm-hmm. No, it's, My pleasure. I like coming on, and, you know, life happens, and, you know, so we get to the episodes when we get to the episodes, you know. But, you know, tell me, I get Doctor Who, I'll start watching Doctor Who, man. That's,
get to Doctor Who.
Get to Doctor Who. All right.
The TARDIS needs you.
Yeah. All right, bud.
All right, sir. Thank you, and I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
And make sure to join our conversations on our social media that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, which is all at WD Magicast. Let your voice be heard. And give us a shout out on social. We'll give you a shout out on the show. I want to thank you for your time. I know how little time we all have. The fact that we get to spend some time together truly means a lot to me, to us over here at WD Magicast. Thank you. We really cannot thank you enough. Please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, where we have all 5-star reviews at the moment. Keep them coming. We need more. The more reviews that they get, especially the 5-star variety, the more that those streaming services will promote the show. Also, share out links to your favorite episodes or to this episode on whatever social network you're on, and make sure to tag us along there, and we will appreciate that. Let people know. Wolf believed in a big Disney family, and so do I. Or do the old-fashioned way and just tell people. Don't forget to subscribe to the show while you're at it. This way you always know when new episodes are posted. And while you're at it, consider becoming a premium subscriber. Truly help the show out. You can do this over at our Spotify site. Search up WD Magicast for information. And check out our merchandise shop as well. Where again, like I said, you can get some really cool WD Magicast merchandise and some things over there. Because remember, this show is brought to you by listeners like you. In Japan, broken objects are often repaired with gold. The flaw is seen as a unique piece of the object's history, which adds to its beauty. Consider this the next time you feel broken. And I'd like to end this week's show with a quote from Walt Disney himself. I function better when there are... I function better when things are going badly than when they are smooth as whipped cream. Again, that's from Walt Disney. Thank you again for listening, everyone. And I'll see you next time.